Welcome to the Innovative Missional Ministries podcast. I'm Jeff Heisner. On May 20th of this year, in the middle of a pandemic, two dams failed and waters from lakes and adjoined rivers in mid-Michigan overflowed communities. The floodwaters wreaked havoc on a number of homes and businesses and displaced over 10,000 people. Today, we're joined by Pastor Dan Kempin from St. John's in Midland. Pastor, it's been a difficult time for so many people in your area. We start with COVID-19 and how that continues to affect the people here in this community. There's also political tensions running wild, and the floodwaters hit Midland and those surrounding areas. First off, how is your church and community doing right now?
Great question. You're absolutely right. This year has been, the word that continues to roll around in my mind is unprecedented with the things going on in 2020. And of course, flooding, when you live in by a confluence of rivers like Midland is, flooding is not an unknown thing. But it was a catastrophic failure of two dams that just left a tremendous amount of water in our community. We're doing okay. Honestly, we're still trying to assess. We're striving to connect with the people who are in need. It's so easy for people who begin to get their stuff back together to just sort of be moving on. We want to make sure that we know that there are people who are still struggling.
So it was May 20th, the dams break, the water's just rushing out of the lakes, coming straight down those rivers. And you guys are not far from downtown Midland, which really got hammered, didn't it?
Yeah, it got hammered pretty well. Entire neighborhoods, roughly probably about a third of town, had some form of damage from, water in your basement to water up in your house, and to some that were a total loss, and a lot of gaps in insurance coverage. I mean, a lot of these places weren't on the floodplain, didn't have flood insurance, and a lot of the people who do have insurance is only going to be partial. But we're very thankful that there was no loss of life. There was a large loss of property, but just very thankful that what we lost was only things. But that in the midst of that, there are people, especially people, in the demographic who are just making ends meet and getting through life sort of day by day and paycheck to paycheck. Well, now when you have the disruption of paycheck and all the out-of-pocket expenses required to recover from something like this, it's been a struggle.
Now, I know we've been a few months since that's happened. Where are you guys at in that process as far as the community? Cleanup has probably happened right now. So what's
one of the most encouraging things for me is just as a member of the community, as a person who was actually affected by some of this and as a pastor here, it was so encouraging to see the amount of help that was brought to bear for people, how local churches and local leaders, I'm so proud of our Midland Circuit of Missouri Synod churches that did a great job of pitching in. Messiah especially did a great job of showing leadership and being involved right away. Pastor Ed Derner and some of the ministries there, like a Pivot Point, and there were relief organizations that came into town and were hosted by St. John's and a number of the churches in town, where that was sort of the first phase, as you said, cleanup. The dealing with the immediate needs, getting people's power back on, getting people back into the house and able to function. We are now on the other side of that, where a lot of the emergency distribution points have been closed down. A lot of the people who were on the lesser scale of damage have had things put together, but there are still a lot of people working on their homes in a lot of more fundamental ways. And one of the things, and I'm speaking just of my church, St. John's, that we're trying to sort of specialize and focus on is we know that there's going to be a need for furnace replacement, because the vast majority of furnaces were in basements and they were destroyed by the flooding. A lot of people are going to be able to take care of that and are arranging to do that right now, but there's going to be a lot of people who just don't have the money to drop on that. And that's one of the things we're trying to focus on right now.
And the skilled labor to get that installed and to do it in a fashion that can be affordable and it can help everybody, right? That's got to be one.
Yeah,
of the-
we can get a crew of volunteers to go haul stuff out of a basement. But a furnace has to be done by a professional.
Yeah. So now that skilled labor is becoming one of the big needs, isn't it?
Yeah, that's why we're happy. The way we're doing this is looking to partner with professionals in the community. Right now, we're working with Wilds Plumbing and Heating, who have agreed to sort of partner with us in that. And depending on the need that may come through, we're still putting word out now, but as people begin to realize that the heating season is coming, we may see a rush of need, and we may reach out to other people as well to help with it.
So how has the reception from different companies and different people in the community been for you guys, especially when it comes to finding those people that can install a furnace or help with the washer and dryers that also were put in place too?
It just, as a general rule, it's been very positive. Like I said, the churches and outside organizations have been great. Also just within the community, people here have been very willing to pitch in and help. As I said, we are working with one company, Wilds Plumbing and Heating, and that's been sufficient for what we're doing right now. Demand may lead us to want to invite other people into that as we get closer to winter. But for example, you mentioned appliances like washer and dryers. There's a ministry called Pivot Point here in town, and you can just look them up on Facebook. One of the things they did in partnership with Messiah is they bought I think it was 100 washers and dryers, and they sold those to people who qualified at a discounted rate and delivered those. And that was really tremendous. I know they went through those quite quickly. There was a huge need. That was a big help.
Yeah, you really don't realize until you go up to Midland, basically, and maybe even saw the devastation and what people lost and how some of those things that they might need, like the washer and dryer, the furnace and those things. But just really struck me when I got a chance to go up there was to see the piles and piles of things that were just at the side of the house being thrown out. You know, how did that make you feel?
You know, interestingly, we had gotten what's called a NICSL. It's like the emergency alert system. I'd gotten a text in the middle of the night warning that there was a possibility of a dam break. And then I got another one later that morning that said, no, it's fine. The dams are stable. So I left town. And while I was out of town, got the notice that it had all failed. So when I drove back in, I turned into my neighborhood. There's a little bit of a low spot. And I could see the water line and how high up it was on the houses. And it just made me want to cry. We just hold on to that, to the fact that there was no loss of life. And we're so thankful to have a chance to lose only things. But at the same time, there is just such a heartbreak that goes with people, you know, couples invested in their home that are just walking away. There are a lot of people in the neighborhood right where I'm at. They're just walking away because they just are worn out. They can't come back from it.
Did you have members that were really affected by this that lost quite a bit?
We had a lot of members who were affected by this from the scale of, like I said, just needing to clean stuff out of your basement or replace everything to people whose homes were condemned because of foundation issues. And they're still out of their homes.
What do you tell them?
Well, you know, the same thing we always tell them. God is good. And we're here for you. You're not alone. And we do what we can and go forward in faith.
Now, what are some of the greatest needs that your church, the community, and whether it's Midland and even up there in Sanford and what are some of those needs that you have right now?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because I live in Midland and our church is here, but it's not just Midland. It is Sanford, especially. They were just absolutely devastated. People who had homes up on the lakes, Wixom Lake and Sanford Lake, and up in the Beaverton area as well. Tremendous loss, and in a lot of ways, they had a tougher time because there were less resources there in the Midland community. People pitched in and helped. I think we're at kind of a challenging time right now because there's that transition in need. I mean, if you sort of look at it on the surface, it almost feels like we're coming out the other side of it. A lot of the things are back together now. But there are still a lot of those deeper needs, and that's one of the things that we're trying to connect with. It's been a little bit challenging just so we can, you know, get word out, get people to reach out to us, and make those connections now for this. I view it as sort of a second phase of the help ministry that's needed.
So what would you like to tell people how they can get involved or how they can help? What would be a great way to partner with you guys?
I would say if you happen to listen into this, please just pray. Just pray that God will lead people to the ministries that are trying to help. You know, and you know, I'm speaking from St. John's. We're one of those. We're by no means the only one. Just pray that God would identify those people that need help and make those connections. And then after that, you know, as there may be a need, we pray that God would provide the resources. But we really don't worry about that. We're confident that if God leads us to these things, he's going to provide means for us to be able to help. What we really want is to connect with the people.
You talked about the circuit coming together. Expand on that a little bit and how you guys were able to do that to help out the community and everybody that was around there.
Well, coming together, as you probably know from COVID, is not a reality. Our last circuit meeting was on Zoom like this. So we didn't like physically come together. I've just seen without any sort of central leadership how the congregations have and the pastors and the people have all just seen an opportunity to help and have gravitated towards that. It's been gratifying to see.
Is there a point person that people can look to, can go to? Is it you guys at St. John's? I know Messiah's done quite a bit as well. Where would you point them to?
That's a great question. I can speak for us that if people are specifically interested in helping replace furnaces for those in need, that could go to St. John's. Any funding that will come in for that, we'll keep that segregated and have a separate accounting for that. That's what we're going to focus on. I don't know what Messiah's focus on the moment. They were very quick responding, but just go to Messiah Midland Bullet Creek. Just go to their Facebook and website and get connected there. And you know, if anyone watching this has a connection to a local congregation there, I'd suggest that you give a call to whoever you know or to the pastor there and just see what's going on. Because honestly, it's just been such a varied response for help, whether it's individuals going to just help muck out houses, whether it's been food preparation, you know, that's been going on here for weeks. I think it was only last week that we ceased to do that, preparing meals and then just going delivering them to people whose wells were dried up or whose homes weren't livable, kitchens not operable, and praying for people financially helping people, gift cards. It's been really creative to see how people are doing. They just see a need and respond to it.
How difficult has this been for you as a pastor and for your church?
You know, to answer the question, how difficult is really difficult. I think that, you know, one of the things that we're just seeking to speak faith into all of this. We know that this has been shocking for so many of us, but it's not surprising to God at all. And we know that God has chosen for this and is prepared in advance for us to be able to be here. So we're just looking for the blessings that come in the midst of this and the opportunities. We're really confident that, just as an example of the whole shutdown, we've been sort of pushed into a whole field of technology that we feel is going to be a blessing for ministry that wouldn't have come about if not for this. We still have people in vastly different places. We still don't know exactly what things are going to look like. I mean, good luck doing financial planning and budgeting. Those things are really difficult, but you know, we're pushing it in faith that we were brought together for such a time as this, and we're seeing a lot of good, a lot of exciting things happening.
You talk about those blessings, and obviously it's probably seeing as you're getting a chance to install a furnace and seeing how grateful someone is and thankful that they are in getting the chance to tell them about Jesus.
Exactly.
What are some of those blessings that you're seeing out there?
Oh, that's it. I just think the encouragement. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of encouraging that's going on. And really, honestly, I'm really so proud of the people here. Obviously, I'm proud of my people. but you just it's really humbling to see people face difficult circumstances with faith. That's just awesome. I mean, it's really cool. And of course, we almost feel like it's making too much of it to be too concerned for us, because after all, we're only losing things, and we're going to have to lose them all anyway. So this is like a good reminder. We're blessed to keep, you know, that the Lord is helping us keep our feet on the ground, so to speak. But it's really good. I mean, it's like I said, I think it's good for our faith. The challenge in my mind is the charged political climate and the fact that just the potential for division that takes place with people being in different places, some very worried and concerned about the virus, some people kind of done with it, and to walk together in love, respecting each other and valuing each other as we go forward. That's really what we're kind of focusing on as a congregation.
If you want right now, if you want to tell us your email or phone number, contact information, so that people around the district can get in touch with you and help with, especially help with the furnaces. Obviously, you know, we've got the 90 degree temperatures that's been hitting, you know, right in the midst of the summer, but we know that's going to change here soon.
It's exactly what we're thinking. Yeah, no one's thinking about their furnace right now, but we want to try to prepare for that because it's going to be real important in Michigan. Yeah, our website is sjlmidland.org. That's as in St. John's Lutheran. So sjlmidland.org. There's information there on the furnace program, which we call Keep the Home Fires Burning. My personal email can be found on that website as well. And if any of you are just interested in contacting other churches in the circuit and don't want to, you can either just Google them too. But I can be, I'm also the circuit visitor, so I can be a venue for communication if anyone wants to get in touch with those other ministries. Yeah. And we especially want to ask again for prayers. And there may be a need for financial support for these furnaces. If we have a big wave of requests come in, that's more than we can handle. We're going to be reaching out and asking for help with that. But right now, we're just asking for prayers that God would connect us to the people.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Definitely appreciate your time, and we will absolutely be praying for you, for your community, your church, and all those folks that were affected up there in Midland and Sanford and even further north up there in Beaverton, too. So thanks for your time. We definitely appreciate it.
Appreciate that. Thank you, brother.